Starting in John 4, verse 1, these are the words of our living and true God. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are now you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he," or "I who speak to you am." At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. And those are the words of God. And the passage begins with Christ trying to get from Judea to Galilee. And usually we know, if we know the Gospels, we know the Scriptures, that the Jews typically went around Samaria because they didn't want to go through Samaria. And so they went to the east of Samaria, around the Jordan River, up to Galilee. But here, in verse 4, it said Christ had to pass through Samaria. And there's a reason for that. In God's providence, he was to meet this woman at the well. And so as he, in his human nature, and the disciples' nature as well, were getting tired, he sat down next to the well, and that well being the well of Jacob. And that, of course, would bring about an extended conversation about the well that Jacob had built. And so Jesus there moves, asks for a drink of water. He moves to teach the woman about living water. And that water that is given, that gives eternal life, in which no one who drinks of it thirsts again, but is satisfied fully. And she is focused on the material thing. She wants, "Well, give me some of that water, literal water, that I can have so that I don't have to come to the well anymore and draw water and then go back to the city." And Jesus is not talking about actual water. He's talking about salvation in him alone. And any common sense person would want that water. It's a living water. You'd be satisfied and never thirst again. And yet she's focused on literal water. And so Jesus moves to teach her about her sin. She's an adulterer. She's broken the seventh commandment, having five husbands, and the one that she's now with is not even her husband. She's a sinner. And then the conversation moves to worship. Again, this place that he had to come to, Samaria, where the Samaritans believed that of the first five books of the Bible, and yet they didn't believe like Jesus did. They worshipped on the mountain, and the Jews worship in Jerusalem. That's where the temple is. But Jesus says that worship of the Jews, and that worship that you have, is not even right. And the Samaritan of the mountain, that's not even correct. But the worship in Jerusalem is not going to be any longer. And neither is your worship. But rather, wherever God's people gather together, that's where worship will occur. So that those who worship God worship Him not by worshiping at Mount Sinai or at a mountain or before a temple in Jerusalem, but throughout the world as the gospel spreads and the church spreads. They worship Him in spirit, with our hearts, as we heard this morning, and in truth according to God's Word. Christ then reveals that He is the Christ. Does she believe Him? No. You see what? She goes to the city. She begins telling the men of the city, verse 29, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" She doesn't believe. She's asking, "Is this the Christ?" Jesus just told her, "He is the Christ. I am." To answer her question, of course, that he's already answered is, yes, He is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ, and He provides alone living water and salvation that all may receive by coming to Him by faith in the gospel. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful that You have revealed to us, through Your Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we can have Christ Himself, who is the living water. That we might have Him, who is the bread of life, that we think about this evening as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we ask that You would bless us in our understanding of the gospel, but also that we would believe it unto eternal life. Further, Father, we're thankful that You have given us Your Word that teaches us how to worship You and what worship is. That it is required of us, Your people, to worship You with our hearts and in accordance with truth. Not just going through the motions, but desiring and being satisfied in You alone and taking and having joy in You and gladness. And even grief and sorrow over our sin. We have broken Your commandments. We have not loved You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. We are guilty before You in ourselves. But we are thankful in Christ Jesus that You have given us atonement of our sins. And that You have forgiven us. And that You continue to forgive us, even now. As far as the east is from the west, You cleanse us. We're thankful that we now have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who pleads for us before You, before the throne. And You hear His prayers, and His prayers are perfect. And so You answer His prayers. Father, we pray that with Him that You would receive us for His sake. That we would be with You where He is soon. And yet that we would also remain for the good of ourselves, the good of others, and for Your glory on this earth now, while our days You have numbered, that we might say, "For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Father, You are a gracious and merciful God to forgive us of our sins and to receive us for the righteousness of Christ alone. We ask that we would not be prideful in our worship, somewhat like what we see with the woman here. You Jews worship in Jerusalem, we worship on the mountain. Father, pray that we would not be those who hear your word and question like this woman. Where Christ says who he is, and then we go off and we ask, is this true, what Christ said? Father, it is our own understandings that we must question, not what your word says. Your word is perfect, inerrant, infallible, that is, it doesn't err and it cannot err. And it is perfectly authoritative for our lives, and yet simple enough for every single person throughout the world to understand for faith in Christ. That you would send your Holy Spirit and save your elect, we pray. We're thankful that you have provided snow, which is watering the earth even now in the winter. Thankful that you have kept us safe in our travels this day. And pray that you would continue to keep us safe on this earth in the midst of suffering, pain, sorrows, as we see death. Even as we perhaps experience or see others experiencing persecution, we ask that you would guard us and our souls as you promise you will do. And at the right time, bring us home. Father, may we not fear the things of this world, but that we would trust you in your promises and the struggles that we have to go through, that they are for your glory. Even the sickness that we've been reading about in J.C. Ryle in the mornings. That sickness is a good thing. It is for your glory, and you work even those things out altogether for our good, to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, may we have a kingdom perspective, a godly perspective, and not a worldly perspective on things. That you would be given all praise and glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.